sweetheart. All right, Zap 50. And Ruddle, be signed for service. Amen. Ah, very good there, Mr. Sam. All right, Isaiah 50, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Well, I have put away. Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. You know, there's a lot of people in here who grew up in a split family. That's a hard thing, okay? Not an easy thing. And let me tell you this. If you're somebody who's struggling with a marriage, or you know someone struggling with a marriage, my wife grew up in a house where it was nothing to see her parents go through, break things, kick things, scream at each other. She'd hide under the table, you know, with her ears plugged, and they stayed together. Her sisters and her all agreed that they probably never should have ever gotten married. And yet, my wife and I will both say it was far better for her that they stayed together than if they'd split. Far better for her. And there was a stability there, bottom line, a covenant that they held on to. Years ago, when I was in Athens, Greece, there was a missionary there by the name of Van. His last name was Rustling. And he had been a businessman in the state of Mississippi. And his wife told me one time that they owned the largest glass company in the state of Mississippi. They had a yacht, they had a couple of homes, one by the ocean. And she said, money would have a problem. She said, all of us, both of us are at the day. And she just says, she said, both my husband and I were saved now. We have salvation. And somewhere about 40, 45 years old, got saved. And they're in the First Presbyterian Church back in Mississippi. They had been somewhere in the 1960s. And they went to the pastor and said, we're going to give our business. We want our business skills to search. And they, for 10 years, and the Lord was satisfied and received their business skills for the Greek Bible Institute. And, but Van Rustling told me this. He said, every one of my children suffered from how he raised them. And the children struggled with alcoholism and everything else. And each one of my children had divorce days. He said, in their divorce, and I would watch where they would stay together for a while for the children's sake. Then they think, no, this is too terrible. We need to split for the children. And then I watched that go on for 15 years. And I'm going to tell you my opinion. My opinion is, we stay together for children's sake, it's all better when they stay for the children's sake. It was all better. So you leave everyone, just tell you the opinion of somebody who watched it for years. That's my opinion, okay? Now, that was just a little gimme. I had not intended to speak on that particular subject, but the Lord talked about Israel. Where's the bill of your mother's divorcement? In other words, Israel saying, hey, God, you abandoned us. And no, I haven't abandoned you, okay? Their mother there being Jerusalem, and he said it's for her iniquities that you're in trouble. Okay, and we have people in here, you had mothers that weren't good mothers, okay? I've heard the testimonies of some of you, and God can heal all that. Honor thy father and thy mother, okay? You say, well, you don't know what my father did. Abraham made his wife go join a harem. Anybody got a daddy do anything that evil to their mother? Okay, and you think that give Isaac an excuse to throw stones at Abraham and you're just a terrible man or whatever? No, didn't give any excuse like that at all. Honor thy father and thy mother. And chances are you got something good from them. I remember one time the ladies, when we used to have 6 o'clock services, the ladies would meet sometime at 5 o'clock and they'd have a proverb class back there. And it just hasn't worked since then to have it, but they came out one day and asked me, what is this thing, forsake not the law of thy mother? What's that mean? Because most of them had mothers that forsook every law there was. Most of them had mothers that were disobedient and lived sinful lives and boyfriends in and out and drunkenness and drugs and everything else. And I told them this. I said, ladies, If your mother was rounding quicksand right now and she told you, "Oh, I'm where I am," would you hear it go water pan? Chances are, that hell of a mother told you this time to time, had no ability but herself. She told you things that if you'd followed it, you'd be better off. Okay? You'd be better off. Because somewhere from her misery, somewhere from where she was in that, told you things that would have done you good. Okay? Forsake not all mother. Forget that. When I came was their name. When I was their ancestors, mentioned it all that I cannot redeem. Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. I've seen pictures of that. Water up, fish are flopping around. I'm in this. It's just here because Jesus Christ is seeking mercy. At this time, it applies to the average preacher. It's really, Pastor Hain preached something a couple years ago about the Apostle Paul filling up that which is behind the suffering of the Lord. And he asked the question, he was told to me, asked the question, part of the answer, you know, the answer, part of the answer. So think about it, God. It's, you know, things that the Lord said that Paul went through. The chastisement on his back, the beatings, Paul went through the beatings. It talks about Jesus Christ, how God separated from his mother's womb. And Paul uses the testimony, separated from mother's womb. And you know what part is? If God does call you to ministry, you will walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. And there are experiences of his that you will experience if you submit yourself to him. And you find out the suffering's not over. That's part of that. It's a message. Cause me to cause my eyes to open and think about it. Realize in my Bible, it's more important the questions that come into your mind. Because without the questions, the answers don't mean anything. Okay? I could go get the bar exam for state and law, make you a lawyer, and show everyone the answers, and it won't mean anything to you, because you don't understand the questions, okay? You're in there, they all be, hey, you know, this, and you quote, and the question, you know, I chose the way. When you put your heart in the Bible, that's where God's trying to teach you. And if you want to quench God, here's what to do. Put it off. Put it off. Brother Ronnie and I, again, we met with a missionary and, you know, Miss Shirley Cook. Would you spend some time with this man, you know? So I called him, and he's glad for me to spend time with him. And we spent a few hours in Tim Hortons just going over Bible, and going over it and such. And I talked to Ronnie on the way back, and so the Bible talks about quenching a fire circuit, take a shield away. And I can think of the thing. You're not a bit of a... You know, people can't climb those walls, they can't get over them or whatever else, so they dip their arrows into burning pitch and then shoot that arrow over the wall. But the average preacher, and I was taught that, well, you shot arrows, this is how you quench it. Okay? I don't think you'd be good at launching arrows. Okay? Instead, those arrows go through behind you, those old shack behind you, place with the winter, a little fire. What you do, usually that shield was made of leather. You know what you can do with that? You can go put that over that fire and quench it. Okay? That's what they did with their shield. Now, folks, you only remember this statement. Now, you can't stop a bird from lying in your head. You can stop from building a nest in your hair. All right? You can't stop certain thoughts from coming into your head. They're going to come. But you don't have to entertain them.
That's right.
Okay? You don't have to entertain those thoughts and daydream about them and everything else. And fiery darts of the wicked will come. What is that? Terrible thoughts come into your head. Making you doubt the one you love, making you doubt Jesus Christ, making you doubt all sorts of things. They'll come into you and they'll make awful things. They'll put a bitterness in your heart or whatever else. And then it's your choice. Do you want to quench that fire or do you want to feed that fire? Do you want to let slow smolder back? Take source from the word of God. Think of that thought. Now flesh this woman, flesh this man, vow, God hate what he knows. And let the folks up in here, we homes we come to them for that very reason, okay? Determining to do that. And you can do that. But let me tell you another thing. What's quenching the spirit then? Quench not the spirit. You know what that is? It's when God starts a fire in your brain, you put up. God starts a fire. He put it down there. So there's a fire. You know about serving the word of God or the thing that you ought to do. It. You know somebody, whatever it is. What I learned? Right now, look. Stop right now and look at it. You know why? Because this plan to look at it later, you ain't got enough time in eternity to look at all the stuff you put off for later. Okay? You look at it now. And some of the greatest blessings you'll ever get in Bible studies, rat trails. You haven't attended that. You attended this. And this thought came into your mind, and you followed that thought, and oh my goodness, you ran into the God of Israel. Okay? Quench not the spirit. All right. So the thing is, question come to your mind, follow me. It's God. God asks for more questions than I believe does answer. He laws will be far more questions he'll ask. The verse again, wherefore, what came there no man? When all none to answer, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I power to deliver? Behold, at thy rebuke, okay? Look at this. I drive the sea, I make the rivers of wilderness, fish stick, because there's no water to die of thirst.
You know those griefs?
You know how weird I believe preacher today?
You know how weird it is? I'm a kid of only weed and ain't study.
And I don't have a clue who to tell them to go. I don't have a clue. One of the hopes I have, if God would light a fire in this church, if God would just raise up some young men in this church, they can take the things they heard here and marry some of these women screwing up and get out there and preach for God. Okay? Some people out there, God loves his man. He don't know that. He knows that men of God's circle colleges and those Bible colleges never produce a man like the great man of God.
That's right.
Never happens. Mm-hmm. Okay? Minutes I've been batting around. And in all seriousness, I want to form a degree. I don't know any Bible college does it. Probably copy in your house. I want to have a degree in the King James by itself. The Bible will be what degree in. You'll have so many hours of English history, so many, and you're going to learn that Bible itself is an instrument. And you'll learn that Bible. Because that's what the devil gets somebody off. Okay? And I have to show skill in the Bible, understanding what's. Okay? You say, well, just read like that. Hey, the number good. What do you do with it? Years ago, when I used to read the Wall Street Journal, and I actually had a job where I had to read the Wall Street Journal every day, and understand what the London Metal Exchange was doing and things. And the thing is, I read it, they had fanaticals, one of them was about career business, and I think I told this story before. But a career business and started a chain and franchises of bodies over weeping. So that the Wall Street executive, who was all worried about, you know, stepping out, he worked till 11 o'clock at night, stepping out on Wall Street, he's worried about somebody mugging him, so that guy would feel confident, you know, do something. And it took off. Oh my goodness, Chicago, LA, Seattle, New York. Then it took off all the people that. Then the public streets were mucked. And he lied. You know, the ghost there. Street punk says, give me your wallet. So he gets in a stance. Street punk looks at the stance, slaps his face, and takes his wallet. All right? Because that stance didn't mean anything. If you knew somebody else with karate, he's in a stance. They do this. Right now, I'm not about Korean. I get a karate stool. Stool going in there. But he's me. And have help and do a bit of good. I have at least one accredited place that'll accept the degree I give. That's why Dale has an accredited doctorate, okay? Because they'll accept my degree. But a degree isn't going to do you a bit of good if you can't do anything with it, okay? I'd rather you have something and nobody ever recognize your degree, but you have something so that you're the street punk taking their walls, all right? You're the one that can go out there and let them call karate and all that kind of stuff. Just take a stool, beat them over the head, preach the word of God, and go on, all right? He said this in verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word to season him weary. He wakeneth me morning, wicked night, to hear as the interest when I speak with today. That verse was dear to me for a long time. I had made a vow to the Lord about that verse. And I never was able to fulfill that. For years, I used to struggle with that. And I'd made a vow to him on it, and I just was never able to keep it. And, you know, and for a long time, if you ever read John Bunyan's book, Somebody to the Thief, where he sells a snare phone, something like that, not sure to handle it or what else, he Uber's into. All right? But the point is this. A. This is where a preacher and Jesus Christ had the same testimony. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. One of the things I have rejoiced in over the years, okay, when I see people that God makes into church, I rejoice, okay? Because it's sort of goofy, glomerating people you'll meet in regard when you're in these cases. You know, folks use for it. They are. God makes them and does stuff with them, and there they are, you know, and God will never make another one like that. You'll find other preachers try to act like them, and it doesn't work or whatever else, but God gave them the tongue of the learned. God loves to do that. God loves to take people and give them that tongue of the Lord. And so the apostle, okay, that Jesus Christ is a prayer we can hear. Talks about morning by morning the Lordship. You know, some of the marching orders that I get, I'm in my nevermores, shaving when I get marching orders from God. It just, you know, it's a bad mental picture, but but nevertheless, it's amazing to me how much when I'm just refreshing myself and bathing in the morning, how the Lord will just show me certain things. And, oh, okay, and You know, morning by morning, the Lord, wakeneth to teach. And if God woke you up this morning, it's because he does want to teach you something. Okay? God wants to show you something. Let him do it. Okay? Now, going on a little bit more, and it says this, verse 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned I way back. Okay? And again, I don't think there's a preacher I know who at one time or another didn't rebel at some point or whatever else, pay an awful price. Some of the best preachers out there are men who one time or another tried to resist God, and God won the battle. Okay? And then God takes over, and God uses that person mightily, okay? But then he says this in verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That is, without any shadow of a doubt, a testimony and a prophecy of Jesus Christ, okay? That's fulfilling the peace offering of Leviticus chapter 3 and the peace offering. You took that sheep, and you cut its back off hard by the rump, it said. That's why the psalmist talked about this, another prophecy. They made long furrows upon my back. Why? Because that's one of the things the Roman soldiers would do. If you're a Roman soldier, you woke up in the morning. Some of you have been in the military. You wake up in the morning, you pull your duty. What's my duty today? Crucifixion duty. They hated crucifixion duty. It's one of the most awful duties that a man can get. You go ahead and take a man sometime, you nail his hands down, you nail his feet down, you watch his family begging and crying, and you hang him up there where it's going to take him 3 days to die, and you're going to guard him with your friends and make sure that nobody interferes with that. And then when he dies, that body is to stay there. It's to rot where it is. Why didn't Jesus Christ? Because they're in a Jewish land, and the Romans had better sense than to defile a land like that, okay? So they always would make exceptions to places they were, all right? Got out there. The one thing would do is they take the canine tails, they would take that whip that they had, and they would try to sew bones through that, shards of glass, pottery, and that kind of stuff in there, and you would try to whip that man's back to see if you can make his entrails fall out, okay? And you say, that's a terrible thing. No, it was a mercy to that man if you could make his entrails fall out. It's a mercy to him for him to die here, rather than to go through that and then take 3 days to die on that cross, okay? Say, well, why didn't they die, why did the thieves die? Because they broke their legs, okay? You know why a guy died on the cross? They suffocate in lungs. Their lungs fill with fluid and eventually they suffocate. So I think that they click heads and fail your blood. And strong can they die like that case, right? Well, you stop and break legs. Okay? They die away. They can't push themselves up anymore. It was an ingeniously, fiendishly devised torture of men that the Romans didn't invent, but used it like this guy. And so the thing is, he goes back to smite and be sure that he filled the peace and had back and hard by the Romans. Yeah. He gave back might, but then the whole death, yes, he did. He loved to be under the sufferings of Christ, okay? Verse 7, for the Lord will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. And let me tell you something. One of the things you have to do is set your face like a flint. If you're going to preach the word of God, Jeremiah says that. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't even consider their faces. You just have to go out there and pray. You know, it's all wonderful to climb in the pulpit when everybody, just in love with our preacher. It's another thing when you have to preach and there's people out there and you're grinding their guts with what you're saying. And you want to make sure this is not anything personal, not me trying to get some little vendetta or whatever out. But this is what God wants said and you're going to say it. And you set your face like a flint and you just go ahead and say it. Okay. Now it goes on and it says this. We'll go to 8, thank you. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. And of course, that's God. You're an adversary of God? Come on, talk to him. He can handle it. Okay? Verse 9, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment, and the moth shall eat them up. Another place that's spoken of the heavens themselves. Okay? In other words, this whole world's going to pass away. All the glory of the kingdoms and everything else, you know, they go over to the Middle East and they're digging up old kingdoms. They never realized that one day people would just dig through and find a little shard of pottery somewhere. It used to be Mama's favorite vase, and now it's just a shard, and they're looking at it and call it, you know, piece number PX412, and it goes in a museum somewhere. That, it's gone. Nobody knows anything about them, okay? And just all waxes old. And one day, this building will be gone, okay? One day, all this will wax old. One day, no one will ever remember the names of the people that are here, okay? Verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now let me tell you something, that almost seems contradictory. Okay? Who is there among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now let me say this. I often make this statement, I made it to Seth down there. When I first got here, there were 11 members, voting members in this church. If they had four people that came to a service, that was a big one. Many's the time, Paul Gordon told me this, they would come here and there'd only be two people and they'd just go home. They'd decide not to have a service, okay? First time I came here, we had 17 because the Balos came over, and at that time they were half of the 17, all right? And still had, Caitlin and Bridget were still home and such, and they came here, and there were about 17 people came or whatever, and we preached. I remember the first time we ever had 30 here, and I thought, oh my goodness, we had 30 people here. But I often make the statement, I went out through here talking to people, trying to get people to come, and you know what? And it's like Lucille Lawton told me. She just said, there's still people mad about things from the 1950s. This is a church that's been here. You know, this building built in 1898, and I think there were warfare that went on then that still hasn't settled some of the homes and families, all right? You know, people that haven't forgotten or whatever else. And I had almost door slammed in my face. People still angry with this church for one reason or another. One of the things I learned is that if there's a mean, snide thing that they're due to people, if someone did it because they didn't have it, I mean that. I remember thinking to people over here in this church. And I was there, and, you know, we had Stanton here as the interim pastor, and I told the people, if I'm going to take it, you're going to give him 12 weeks of severance pay. If you don't give him 12 weeks of severance pay, I'm not coming. They twisted, they grinded, they never done anything and get $5. And then they didn't give me over. And I told them I wouldn't mean to be reputatious to nice things. Wouldn't it be nice? Okay. Then I go to the pastor's wife and again, it was a huge mix-up and everything else, but she ended up being put out of her ear over there in the parsonage after her husband died. And it just, what happened, the communication broke down. Both sides were wrong, okay? Both sides were right. Most of the time when Christians are at war with each other, both sides are wrong, okay? And an old black man one time over, it was in Olean, and his family's been there before the Civil War, and he just said, if you ever see two of my family arguing, you can be sure we're both right. But we go there again, and I go to a woman's house over in Frenchman's down with her, and I told her we're moving to the cottage, and he wept because she told the story from her side and from her side, okay? And we didn't question that. We didn't go into it and say, well, we heard this or whatever. Just let her talk, all right? And she did. She told the story from her standpoint. And I came back over here, I got the elders together, and I told them, I said, I'm blaming you men. Not because what you did ultimately was wrong, but because all the communication fell apart, okay? It all fell apart. Neither side was talking to each other. And I said, I believe God holds you guilty for that. But it got settled. She gave Ruth Ann and I her blessing. Okay? She gave that blessing. That was settled. That agony was over, okay? That thing that had gone on. And over the years, so many things. And so one of the things I talked about was we couldn't get good people to come to the church. So we went out and got the bad people. And I mean that, okay? You just think of some of those early days, Miss Tom. I have sat here preaching and watched the state troopers' lights out there because somebody was mad because I wouldn't take them home in between services. So they called the cops on me for kidnapping, right? And had a state trooper out there explaining, no, it's not kidnapping because he won't take you home between services, all right? And, I'm just telling you, that's what we were. And it built up. And you know what? God took some of those bad people and turned them into good people.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
It's like one of those things that God does, and I love it. And over the years, we've had some good people come to this church. All right? I don't know what to do with them. All right? Outside of my experience, all right? And, you know, so if I fumble around with you or whatever else, it's I don't have a clue what to do with good people. But nevertheless, here's what I've watched over the years. A, I have this observation that if you study revival, revival happens when church people start getting saved. You'll study revival. You'll find it. I know this, that when David Brainerd came in off the field, during the midst of the Great Awakening, he went to Jonathan Edwards' house to die because he was engaged to Jonathan Edwards' daughter. The reason we have David Brainerd's diary is Jonathan Edwards published it afterwards. He died in that man's house, and David Brainerd said this, "I have come to understand that the churches that have sponsored me and sent me out are lost." That's a Great Awakening, okay? Why was there a Great Awakening? Because they were awakened to their lost condition, okay? You say, well, is everybody like that? No. But it's more the majority in the year 2021 than the minority, okay? It just is, okay? And so I find when I go out there that I have people who do fear God, hear the voice of his servant. That's why they're here. But they still walk in darkness. And there's a message for them. Okay? Trust in the Lord. And that's really what the problem is. You know, if people talk to me long enough, sooner or later it'll come out they're angry with God. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about the people that just can't get this thing right of salvation or whatever else, and we go round and round with them. And, you know, Luke talks about the person with the good heart who received the Lord, bringing forth fruit. Then once in a while you have people who just, in all simplicity, receive Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's just a glorious thing. Right, sure. But it's got mighty rare nowadays. When Pastor Hain got saved, if you had a school of 1,000 girls, if one wasn't a virgin, everybody knew who she was. Today, if you have two that are, everybody knows who they are. Okay? That's right. It's just a different world. Okay? Different world. And that day, everyone grew up knowing where a rod was on their rear end, know what spankings were. Today, people know what it's like to get kicked around like a cur dog, but they don't know what discipline is.
Yeah.
They don't have any clue what it is.
Right.
In those days, people grew up with public school teachers, cops, judges that spoke righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Today, public school teachers will teach you how to be sexually perverted.
That's right.
Out of a curriculum.
Yep.
Okay? There's a man in Canada that just got put in jail for refusing to call his daughter, he called her a she. He was forbidden to do it. Living under his roof, and she wanted male hormones. He called her a she, and he's in jail. Okay? See, how far along before we get that here? Mm-hmm. Won't be long. Okay? Won't be long at all. We live in a different world, a different time. There's no fear of God in this society.
That's right.
One of the plagues, and it's one of the things. I know what it's like to think you have salvation and then realize, no, I don't have what that Bible has. Mm-hmm. By that time, I'd already cut out my fornication. I'd quit drinking. I'd go ahead, given up everything to go to a good Bible college and realize I don't have that has. I don't have it. Okay? I'm reading on the street. I can go women's and I have what that has. Fortunately for me, here's within 1 4 hours, me realize I don't have it. I was settled and secure in Christ Jesus. Amen. Within 24 hours. In that 24 hours, I probably made 82 professions. And I mean that. But I knew that there's one where God would bear witness with me. And I wouldn't quit till I had it.
Yeah.
That old Lester Olof song, I would not be denied, I would not be denied, and as the Savior passed that way, would not be denied. Okay? Now, there's people in here have trouble understanding that. A, because some of you found Christ Jesus peacefully, calmly, in a good and a tender age, and praise God for you for that. Praise God, okay? But keep this in mind. If you're one of those people that struggle, it's one of the hardest struggles you'll ever go through in your life, okay? You've got so many lies in you and things, and that's why it's good to talk, good to put it out there, because it's amazing the lies and the foolishness and the mix-ups and everything else that you got going on in your head. I always think of Chelsea telling Pastor Hain, I've got to go through this for years, and him just preaching to her, that's a lie. You don't have to go through that for years, okay? You don't have to. That's what the preachers do. They nail those lies and show you, no, that's not right, okay? Now look at the last verse, and we'll end with this. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that ye have kindled. This have ye of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. There's nothing worse than making your own fire. Nothing worse than putting together some testimony and swearing that this is really the God of Israel, and this is really the light, and this is that, it's what it is, and yet it doesn't match that Bible, okay? Don't get caught doing that. One of the things that'll drive some people crazy here is you'll watch someone make a profession, and everyone will be happy. You ever notice when someone puts a profession on Facebook, I got saved today, you'll never see a comment from me. Is that because I'm not happy? No, I just watch.
That's right.
I just watch, okay? I watch. You know what Tanya said when Josh put his last thing on Facebook? She said one of the wisest things. She said, Pastor, I'll watch. Just remember that I would be some evil myself. And it wouldn't be it. He said, so I'll watch Joshua to see, is this what's going on? And I watch people that way. The goalpost I'm looking for is that change life. That profession, you know for sure, God gives work to you. God gives to show you with God the anything person. That's the goalpost. Don't deserve it. I don't need anything to say to others. It has been my lot to work with people who struggle with this thing and have trouble getting it right. But when I read behind the Wesleys, I find that same thing. I read behind Spurgeon, I find that same thing. I read behind Moody, I find that same thing. Well, they struggle to work with people on that. And again, I go back to that statement of Wesley's, and we came into the society, I mean the Methodist society. And he talks about 100-some people being there. And he said there were good people and the order was good. And I talked amongst them and found a few that have found peace. See, we don't even begin to think of Solomon in those terms. Okay. David Brainerd in his diary, talking about the Indians crying out, laying on the floor, screaming for their souls. Because after 2 years, the Spirit of God's fallen upon them. And he said, and I interviewed them and found one or two that found peace. Christ Jesus. Okay? It's not the thunder, it's not the earthquakes, it's not the fire. The prophet found that. It's that still small voice that agrees with the word of God. Come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Okay? And you know what? No two personalities here the same. No two people ever come in the same other than it's the same door, Jesus Christ. And he requires of you a humiliation that none of us want to give. Okay? Repentance. Pastor Hain.